Hey everybody, this is Sophie and welcome to a very unexpected bonus episode of the Big Boo Cast. Earlier this week, Melanie and I recorded a Thanksgiving episode for Patreon, and our friend Cole Kublik, who is an analyst for ESPN, part of the Saturday Night Broadcasting team with Tom Hart and Jordan Rogers, the host of his own podcast, The Cube Show, and the co-host of Mac and Cube in the Morning, does a lot of things, Cole does. Cole joined us for part of that episode, and then when his audio uploaded, it was like it never happened. It just disappeared. Well, Riverside, which is how we record, was able to recover Cole's audio. So here you have a little bonus episode, about a half hour of us and Cole talking about Thanksgiving and football and other things as well. So hope you enjoy. Cole, welcome. We're so happy to have you.
Welcome.
Melanie and I are doing a hodgepodge Thanksgiving episode where we're just doing a little roundup, you know, of some things that we're thankful for, things we don't want to see coming, things we're going to remember forever.
So it my feels fave five, we're doing my fave five.
Let's do it.
We would love to. If you jump in with some favorites, we would absolutely be.
My favorite things to have at Thanksgiving, stuffing. It's always stuffing for me. That's number one. Okay. I believe my mother-in-law makes dressing, but I'm going to call it stuffing because that's what I grew up on. Turkey, because I don't have it very often during the year, like it's served there. Three is going to be strawberry pretzel salad, yes. Which it can be a dessert or a side. Yes, I don't really care. However you guys want to describe it, it's fine. Four is going to be sweet potato casserole, yeah, mm-hmm. but only if the people who make it at your house, essentially as a dessert also, okay. where it's so sweet that you might become a diabetic after you have it. Yes. And that's how it has to be for me. Uh-huh. And then five is just going to be something that I make on my own, similar to the desserts that we had at the live show. You take a dinner roll, stuffing, turkey, gravy, and have miniature Thanksgiving sandwiches. That's going to be my number five.
Listen, right here's my question. I have a couple of follow-up
That's
questions.
That's a good one.
My first is, I commend you on the strawberry pretzel salad. Melanie was just saying that she doesn't necessarily love anything that has like anything gelatinous because it wiggles and then it has bits of stuff in it. But I think the strawberry pretzel salad mm-hmm. is the exception. It's a classic. It's fantastic. But here's my question. I have two questions. Why do you think turkey's good? It's my first question. And then my second question is, are you a pecan or a marshmallow person on the sweet potatoes? Please advise.
Oh, absolutely both. Okay. I think if we had to make a decision, if we had to have one or the other, it would probably be pecans because I need a little crunch with it. Mm-hmm. That top layer has to be crunchy. And I don't know if the marshmallows, even if they're kind of toasty, is going to do enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and also, let's be honest, marshmallows don't really have a ton of flavor. We act like they do. No. We act like marshmallows are this sweet treat, and they're really not. I'm not against
them. I've never made such a claim in my life.
Uh-uh. I'm not against marshmallows, but, you know, when you go make s'mores, like, nobody's just eating the marshmallows by themselves. They're not that great. They're really not. So, I would take both, load it up with both. But if I had to have one or the other, we need the pecans because I need that top layer crunchy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The pecans need to
have some brown sugar and butter around them, too, because it makes like a candy.
Make your sweet potato casserole essentially a dessert. It's not a side. It needs to be dessert-like in order to be to my liking.
I don't mind a sweet potato. I'll eat it. I'm not making sweet potatoes. If anybody wants to bring them to my house, that's fine. It's just not a dish that I care enough. Like, I usually like a bite or two, and they've got to be, like Cole said, they've got to be super sweet, like almost like a praline topping, the crunch, the whole thing. But I like the marshmallows to be like toasted, you know, like they've got to be like roasty marshmallows.
That's an interesting thought. Sophie, did we not learn at lunch about a week ago that Melanie wasn't making anything for Thanksgiving this year? And so I find it interesting that you say, I'm not making that. Like, I'm not cooking that.
It's Sophie's the one not making anything. Yeah, they're going to the country club. I am making Cole. I'm making dressing. Mm-hmm. I'm making cranberries. I'm making broccoli rice. I'm making a delicious fall salad with some roasted butternut squash.
You're leaving
squash.
Something out.
I'm not making a turkey.
That's not it.
Turkey.
Keep going. Are you going to make an egg? I thought one of your guests always had to have an egg, just one.
My mother-in-law eats one egg for dinner. But that's just for her dinner. That's not Thanksgiving. For Thanksgiving, she'll come here and she'll eat one bite of dressing with a bite of cranberry and and half a dinner roll. That's what she's going to have. So she'll be so full.
I don't know why, but my mother's legacy is never more alive within me than when I make sweet potato casserole. It is one of the few things that I make, and always with pecans, never with a marshmallow. But it's one of the few things I make that I feel like it's just like my mama's, and she would always have sweet potato casserole for dessert. Never pie, always sweet potato casserole, because it was, again, it was a sweet Southern delicacy. We love to see it. It's so good. But don't put nutmeg in it. Good. Don't put pumpkin pie spice in it, because that's garbage. Not a fan of either.
Well, I feel like mainly in Mississippi here, and we're stepping over some boundaries maybe, that the sweet potato pie is actually very popular. And I've had it, and actually amazing.
Yeah,
very good.
It is good. Too, so. But I'd rather have sweet potato casserole any day of the week.
Okay. I probably would have.
Okay.
Well.
So what do you never want to see? Like what do you not need to hit the table in front of you?
Cranberry sauce. I'm out.
Okay.
Don't need it. And I'm going to tell you.
Okay. Even homemade?
No.
Okay.
No, there's really no difference in my opinion. And it's odd. My 7-year-old, he literally thinks it is what I just described, that marshmallows are not. Like, he thinks it, he calls it Jell-O.
Okay.
He'll have it year round. He always wants more. It's amazing. Like, Mom, can I have some more Jell-O? Mom, can I have some more of that Jell-O? And it's cranberry sauce out of the can. He loves it. And I don't know where he gets it, because I'm not a fan. I don't need cranberry anything at my Thanksgiving. You can have all of it.
Okay. So you don't even like, okay, you say stuffing, I say dressing. You don't even put like a dollop. I like, instead of cranberry sauce, my grandmother always did homemade like plum jelly on the table. And that's what I want on my cornbread dressing. But you don't want any kind of sweet anything on top of your dressing, is what you're saying.
I'm going to let you have all the plum Jell-O, every ounce of it. I'm going to let you keep that.
Okay.
And you can just, right in front of your spot, don't pass it around. Okay. That can just be your side.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
You keep that.
Okay. So.
No, I like, this is where my father and I are exact opposite.
Okay.
And I always was marveled by this as a child. My dad piles his food. And I feel like this is a very distinct individual trait that we all have. Cause my dad it would be stuffing. It would be cornbread, turkey, dressing. Mm-hmm. It'd be gravy. I mean, literally all just one thing. Yeah. And I was I would always look at him like, you are a psychopath. I am all separate. And I'm usually, other than the little miniature sandwiches I make, I'm one thing at a time. So I will eat all my stuffing, and then I'll eat all the turkey, and then I'll eat all the mashed potatoes, and then all of the sweet potato casserole. I don't venture around. It's all one at a time.
Okay. I will say, Alex Hudson is exactly the same that way. And he goes in, he prioritizes it. So he's going to start with the thing he likes the least. He's going to eat that. And then he's going to move in the direction of the thing he likes the most. And he's going to finish with that. Cole, do you prioritize? Do you order it? Like, what goes when?
I try to save the sweeter things for last. So the strawberry pretzel salad and the sweet potato casserole will usually be last, because essentially, like you said, they're desserts anyway. So we'll do all the sugar together.
Sure.
Does he understand that he doesn't have to have all the things? If there's things that he doesn't like, don't even put them on your plate to begin with.
Don't waste the stuff he
likes. But like his favorite thing I make is squash casserole. Like he loves squash casserole. So he's going to save the squash casserole but he loves cornbread dressing, but he may not like it as much. So he may go like cornbread dressing first. He loves butter beans. So he maybe butter beans next. I don't know, a deviled egg. And then he'll wrap it up with the thing that he likes the most, which is always going to be the squash casserole.
I think I see why you had derogatory comments towards turkey earlier with the amount of sides that you guys have at your thing.
That's it. Listen.
There has been no turkey prioritization in your family's history, maybe ever, with all these other things you guys are making.
Mm-mm. No, I don't enjoy it. I don't like it. I'm not a fan at all. I don't like ham that much either. Mm-hmm. So for me, Thanksgiving is mostly about the sides. Okay, what else do you not want to see?
We got that. Like you made that abundantly clear so far.
Butter beans. She listed all 15 sides. She listed all 15 different side dishes. What Alex likes are my green beans and then my squash casserole followed by some butter beans.
And a deviled egg next. Right next.
Stop it. Okay, Cole, what else do you not like?
We have pretty much the same thing in my mother-in-law, Meg. She does an amazing job. We have the same things every year, and there's not too many things that I'll bypass. Okay. She does a green bean casserole with Cheez-Its on top. It's not my favorite, but it's not bad. It's just not going to be a go-to for me when I can get four helpings of stuffing and dinner rolls and strawberry pretzel salad. I don't even know if there's other things there, to be perfectly honest with you, because I'm so locked in on the four or five things that I know I want.
Yeah.
I just walk past everything else. I just don't even, we did this year. Good. Don't want it. I know what I want. Good. We're done.
I feel like you feel the same way about strawberry pretzel salad that I feel about the sides. I think that's maybe your MVP is a strawberry pretzel salad.
Well, here's the thing. The strawberry pretzel salad conundrum for people is very interesting. I feel like the people who hate on it have just never had it. Yeah. They've never tried it. They don't even know what it is. Oof. And they hear strawberry salad and pretzel. And let's be real. Those three things don't go together. I don't want pretzels on my normal salad. I don't want a salad for dessert. And so people would say, it's got Cool Whip on it, whatever it is. Like, what are we doing? But once you have it, it will change your life. And it is amazing.
It's amazing.
And it's one of the few, here's my favorite part about Thanksgiving is that there are very few things in my life that I feel like are better or almost as good the next day.
Okay.
Fried chicken, pizza, very few things that I actually want the next day. Mm-hmm. Stuffing.
Yeah.
Amazing the next day.
Maybe better.
Strawberry pretzel salad. Now, not too far down the road, because once the pretzels get too soft, it's not, you're just done. You're out right there.
Yeah.
But the sandwich concoctions that you can make up with leftover Thanksgiving items are incredible. So strawberry pretzel salad the next day, sometimes is even a little bit better. And then like that sweet potato casserole, cold right out of the fridge. Well, let's just go.
Yeah.
I don't need anything. Like, don't fix it up. I'll take it right out of the big pan. We're good. Mm-hmm. We're done. Mm-hmm. That's the best part.
Okay. I was going to say the best part for me are the friends and family that have gathered around the table as we share a moment of gratitude.
We are going to have six children under the age of 10 under our roof. There will be no time to thank anyone for anything with the mayhem that will be running wild in the Petty household.
Yeah, no, but I bet the outfits will be real good. I bet those six children are going to be dressed to the nines for their Thanksgiving meal.
They'll match.
Yes, they will. They will.
There's going to be a smock turkey situation. I feel certain there's going to be a smock turkey or some sort of pilgrim.
There's going to be a monogram somewhere in that mix. I'll tell you that right now.
I will fill you guys in. Every relative of mine that has asked for present ideas for my kids has been thrown a link to a sports jersey specifically for the two boys. Okay. And my wife's already over it because they each have a couple and they're going to have like seven more after this Christmas and she might lose it. She might be done.
I feel like Locke is getting an Ole Miss something. I feel like based on his obsession with the color of Ole Miss pants, Cole, you can't deny it. Listen, we can train our children the best we can, but sometimes they're just going to go the way that they're going to go. And Locke asked us multiple times about the Ole Miss pants.
He may get a Florida jersey after what they just did to Ole Miss in thanks, but.
Well, that's true. Mm-hmm. It's fair.
You've got to go do Thanksgiving stuff with your family, but before you leave, Do you have three moments this football season that you're particularly like, yes, I just might take these things before the Lord in a moment of thanksgiving? Like, just three can be interviews, plays, moments, scandals, what have you. But do you have three things?
Yeah, no, unfortunately for me, it's going to be really selfish in this time of thanks that we give to be thankful for all of our relatives that are with us and have those around us.
Sure.
That I just don't think that there's going to be a moment that I watch on TV, no matter how big the game was, that being there and being a part of it is going to be. The last minute and a half of Oklahoma, Missouri.
Okay.
I've never seen anything like it in my life. I mean, two scoop and score fumbles in three possessions, both, by the way, which put the team ahead at the time. I've never seen anything like that. That's got to be one of the three. The beginning of the South Carolina-Oklahoma game,
okay,
in which it got a little bit boring late because it was a blowout. South Carolina had 9 sacks by 9 different players. I don't think I've ever seen that in my life. And then had a pick six and a scoop and score in the first three possessions of the game. That thing was over. That would probably be one of them. And then just being on the call for Vanderbilt, Alabama. Mm-hmm. Like, holy hell. Like, I mean, we got that assignment, and it's like, okay, this is going to be weird that Jordan's not there. I'm excited to be in the booth for this because I know this offense that I got to call last year at New Mexico State. And I'm sitting there in my production meeting. The last thing we do in our production meeting is our producer goes around and asks everybody what they think of the game. And this is stats, spotter, graphics, everybody. It's not just me, Tom, or Jordan. And everybody gives their thoughts. And I kind of was last, and I was like, I'm going to tell you why this game can be competitive. And I'm going through the list of things, and I can see everybody in there like, oh, like, shut him up, please. Like, move on. This is going to be 40-0. I'm like, I just don't think so, man. And Tom was obsessed with the historical aspects of that game and what Vanderbilt over time had not done against top 5 teams and top 3 teams. So he had all that stuff teed up.
Yeah.
So we threw all that in towards the end. And it was just a game that kind of worked out the way it exactly had to that we had talked about. So being in the booth for that one and watching them storm the field, rip the goalpost down, and then knowing that they took it down and threw him in the river like that, mm-hmm, was just because I love Kalen DeBoer. He's awesome. But I love Clark Lee, mm-hmm, too. And like when, mm-hmm, what people don't know about that is like Clark is very, very thoughtful. Like he's highly intelligent. Everything he does has a purpose. He has these little sayings for everything, like we are one tribe with one goal and one movement, and we will move swiftly as an army of one. And this, I mean, like every single thing he has a statement for. And I'm like, how in the hell do you even remember, right, these sayings?
Is he an Aggie? Great, but
so many of them. Like, I just don't get it. So he actually really opened up to us in that meeting. And we were just talking, and he kind of stopped and he goes, you know what? Here's what happened, guys. I got so sick of this in December. I sat in my office for a week, and he starts telling us how I just started driving everything towards winning. And he's like, you guys know how I am with like one tribe and the team and growing individuals as leaving here as great people. And he goes, not that I got away from all of that. He's like, but it all started being about winning. And he was very honest. He said, if there's a guy that acts like an a-hole, and normally I would have suspended him for a game, but he's one of our best players, we figure out another way to discipline that guy. He's got to be on the field playing because he's going to help us win. He said, it has been a complete mental reset on how I handle things here. And like, coaches are not usually that open about like maybe their insecurities of why it's not working and how they totally shifted their personal mindset. Like, he hit the reset button on how he runs his program. And it was cool to hear that and then see it like right there. Because a lot of the guys he brought in, he probably, mm-hmm, wouldn't have wanted any part of before. And brought in Jerry Kill, who's been a head coach, and like turned a lot over to, responsibility over to him because he wanted to be back with the defense. And so to have all – people didn't see all that, but I'll share that with you guys. And then to have that happen, like all of that collectively was by far the coolest moment of my college football season.
I love that.
And then Auburn beating Texas A&M awesome. A couple nights ago. I mean, that
was really amazing. That was really – That was a real highlight for me. We have some friends coming over for dinner tonight, and I'm making crawfish etouffee. And so I texted them, and I was like, are y'all good with crawfish etouffee? And our friend Dave, who went to Rice, he played football for Rice. He was like, yeah, but when I eat it, it makes me want to talk about Auburn football games and how dominant they were against y'all. And I was like, you're uninvited.
Don't bother.
Thank you so much.
That's such, Melanie, that's such an easy counter. Say, let's talk about Rice the last few years.
Well,
and
that's fair.
Your combined, four wins?
Listen, y'all, I can throw no stones. Sitting right here, I throw no stones.
Sophie, I think, how quickly did I get the I told you so text in the group text after the Auburn A&M game?
Oh.
I think the clock hit zero, and she had to be sitting there waiting to hit send three, two, or like incomplete, mm-hmm. balls on ground. Send, told you so.
But she texted you even during the game.
You were right.
And said, I don't feel good about it. Essentially, like she felt, she actually said she felt like she had a kidney stone, which is another story. But, but no, we're not getting into it. Not getting into it. But yeah, she did. She texted you like,
I got my AG1 trying to get it out.
Good. Listen, if anything's going to do it, AG1's going to do it. Just trust.
And the Red Bull and the 5-hour energy.
It's only Saturday nights. I got to get the pep up. I got to get it going.
Okay.
God. Okay. So before you go and you listen, go ahead and say, because Auburn's already won and whatever, what do you think is going to happen at Kyle Field Saturday night?
So thanks for watching Read and React. I appreciate that. We talked a lot about the game.
I haven't watched yet, Cole. I'm very
young. Got home, Cole.
And that's a big responsibility. I know to take care of a grown adult. So our producer asked us to do like the old, I always make fun of this, in the Auburn Plainsman, the school newspaper when I was there, it came out on Thursdays, and the Thursdays before games, I used to love it because it would say, Auburn, Georgia, quarterbacks, check, wide receivers, check. And I would always think to myself, they know that those guys aren't playing against one another, right? Like the receivers are not playing the receivers. That's not the way this thing's going to work.
Yeah.
So he had us do advantages, and it was defense, quarterback, I can't remember what the last running game maybe. And I was pretty much Texas on all of them. And he said, X factor for the last one, you can pick what yours is. And I think Roman's X factor was 12th man, which obviously being at home is going to be incredible. And mine was X factor football gods. And this is one of those games that the football gods are, they might not control it completely, but they are going to push as many chips towards the College Station side of things as godly possible.
Yeah.
And it's just, whether it's a coach going back to where he played, whether it's, you know, a rivalry that hasn't been played in a long time, a winning streak that has been going for 20 years. Like, this is one of those games because of the SEC part of it. The rivalry have not been played for a while. The fact that it's going to be at College Station for the first time as two SEC teams, like everything from a football god standpoint, leads me to believe that Texas A&M wins this game. Not many things from a football sensical standpoint lead me to believe that Texas A&M wins. But there are certain games every year that I'll just tell you, no. They're winning that game.
Okay.
Because it is. Like, because of what it is, what it means, how it's going to be. That play, I would love to be in there. It's going to be just freaking incredible. I can't imagine how loud it's going to be.
Yeah.
And, you know, we went through the quarterback thing and it was like, well, what if Quinn doesn't play? I was like, I'll still take Texas. Yeah. I mean, it's just like, what if he's not 100%? I'll still take Texas there. But things are going to happen.
Yeah.
I'll just say that. Like, this is what I love about where Saban is right now, because, like, I can't tell you the whole conversation, but, like, he and I have had the conversation about Jordan-Hare State. One day I'll share that story. It's pretty amazing. After the SEC championship game last year. But, like, for him to sit up there on College game day, as that coach that was that team's rival, and say, that place is haunted, man. Yeah. I'm telling you. Like, that's
– yeah,
yeah.
There are just certain things at certain places, at certain points in time, that are going to happen a certain way.
Yeah.
And I think this is one of those things.
Yeah, I agree. I've thought about that because I thought in the history of the rivalry, I've been thinking about the Texas and Texas A&M games that were my favorite. But that Bonfire game after Bonfire fell, when A&M should not have won that game. Like, that is one where the football gods – it was not going to, nothing about it, but you're just like, well, that was the grace of God because we needed that win. It just felt like it was this poetic ending for what had been such a horrible, tragic week.
I'll give you another one from this year. Sorry to interrupt you. Tennessee at Oklahoma. Mm. That guy won a national championship for that school, was a good offensive coordinator for that school, was scapegoated and fired from that place, cut off like 90% of the people that, not even friends, but people he knew from Norman for a long time. You think he was going to go losing that place?
Yeah.
That was the football god said, you know what? We got to give that one to that guy. Like he's and I think the football guys will say, those people have been good to us. We got to give this one to them. It's going to happen.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. The Aggies have suffered. We have suffered low. We have suffered at South Carolina. We have suffered on the plains of the loveliest village. It's our time.
But no, I just think certain ones are going to go certain ways.
Yeah. Like that. It's the X factor. It's like, it's just the stuff you can't, you can't even analyze it. It's just, you got to know. And that's my feeling about this game is you got to know for the rivalry to be back and to be at Kyle Field and for so much to be riding on it. I don't know. I can't wait to watch.
I just wish it was Thursday. That's the only thing. And I wish the Egg Bowl was
Thursday.
Just one of them at least.
I agree. I know. Maybe they'll change it. Maybe they'll switch it around at some point.
We'll see.
Also, one of my greatest college football conundrums in life. Why do, and I don't care if it was the MAC, the WAC, the Mountain West. Mm-hmm. I don't care. Why do we not have a Wednesday night football game?
Oh, I don't know.
I need an answer.
We should.
We absolutely should. Mm-hmm. It's like everybody's. I was actually thinking today because we're going to my sister's tomorrow night, and I was like, "There's no college football to watch on a Wednesday night. Mm-mm. There should be.
Mm-mm. No, and there should be because what are you going to watch? Charlie Brown Thanksgiving? It's just not the same. I would like a football game.
Certainly would. All right.
Get Charlie out of here.
We'll call.
All right. Thanks for jumping on. Thanks for sharing your Thanksgiving loves and dislikes and also your football perspective. Thanks for being a good friend.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys. I'm very thankful for both of you. So thanks for having me.
We're thankful for you. I'm going to go watch Read and React as soon as this is over. I'm going to go watch Read
and
React.
She'll follow up with you, Cole, later this afternoon with her responses and her thoughts.
I will. All right, I'll give you a little bit of technical football here.
Okay, good.
The good news for A&M is I think some of the things that they did against Auburn schematically are very easily correctable. A couple things. One, why you came in wanting to be some sort of an air raid team all of a sudden and just throw the ball over the place early in that game. Now, it helped you get back in after a big deficit, but like that wasn't the way. I'm sorry. And then two, they played a lot more three down, got away from their even front that they play all year. They're too good on the defensive line to be tricky. They ran these tackle stunts inside where they would twist guys, and Auburn took advantage of that. So I think some of those things could be easily repaired heading into this week. Because I was not a fan of either plan on either side of the ball last week.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree with that. I would agree with that.
We felt like they just didn't tackle is what we felt like watching them when they were on
not
defense.
A lot of teams in college football are right now.
That's a good point.
Sophie, it's a little bit of an epidemic.
You're not wrong.
Yeah. It's a little rough. Well, because, you got to worry about the targeting call. You've always got to worry about the targeting call, which is so consistent and always right. So,
okay. And here's what I want you to bookmark, Cole, for the next time you're on. I've decided the most inconsistent call in college football, and this year it has been worse than ever, is the pass interference call. We don't have to get into it now. I don't even know what it is anymore. I would like for us to analyze this maybe when the season is over. That's all I want to say about that.
I've actually had this conversation with some very smart football people because I kind of wondered, like, is this just me seeing that? I truly believe that we are at a point in time that when a ball is thrown deep down the field, it is more difficult for officials to not call pass interference. Like, they're looking to call pass interference. So instead of looking for reason, like normally on that play, if a receiver's going up for a ball and there's a DB next to him, you should be saying to yourself, okay, I have to find pass interference here if I'm going to throw this flag. I believe mentally it's now reversed.
Okay.
And this is probably subconscious, but I think, and I'm not saying that it's their fault or anything like this, just kind of where we are. I think officials are literally having to look for reasons not to throw the flag.
Okay.
And you should not be there. That's not what it should be.
All right, Cole, we are so appreciative. Well, I hope you and Catherine and the kids have a lovely Thanksgiving with the strawberry pretzel salad that you could want. I hope your mini sandwiches are delightful.
Well, they will be.
And fill your heart with joy. And listen, I hope Auburn can pull out a win against Alabama.
Stranger things, right?
Good. Good luck making that egg. Don't ruin it this time.
I'm not going to ruin it. I'm not going to be real careful with it. I'm not going to be real careful. So,
okay, right. We'll talk to you.
All right. Thanks, Cole.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys. See ya.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Bye.
Bye.